Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
Hey guys, Chris here, and welcome to another episode of Chris Talks Games. As always, I'm Chris, and I will be talking about some games. So yeah, not a great deal to talk about this week, or this episode, unfortunately. I do have like two presentations to talk about. So the news section's going to be covering one, and then the main bulk of it will be covering the other. So the news is going to be going over the Nintendo Mini Direct, the partnership showcase, and then I'll be more in depth about the Xbox event and my thoughts on it. Without further ado, here we go with the news. Okay, so just a little bit of news today, and it's about the Nintendo Mini Direct. Everyone's waiting for Nintendo to make a move because obviously Paper Mario The Origami King is out now, and as it stands, we don't have any first party Nintendo titles announced to look forward to. So everyone's kind of wondering what's going on with Nintendo right now. And there was a heavily rumoured direct for the 20th of July. Like, everyone was like, yeah, it's going to happen. The hype train went to overload. Everyone was like, oh, this is going to be there, that's going to be there. Like, the Mario remakes, or like the Mario collection is going to be there. It's all going to be amazing. And then midnight, I think it's American Eastern Time, Nintendo put a tweet out on the 19th saying there would be a short presentation, a Nintendo Direct Mini partnership showcase showing off announced games and like updating on titles that's coming from their partners. And despite Nintendo literally spelling out what was going to be in the presentation, I think a lot of people still had their hopes up. Even when it came out that it was going to be less than 10 minutes long, everyone was like, oh no, they're going to have something big, And I think it did kind of disappoint a few people, but they didn't take on board what Nintendo was saying. Like, they said it would be partners, our publishing partners, it would be stuff that was already announced, stuff that we already knew about. So I think people were so worked up with the hype train that they just couldn't get off, I think. And unfortunately, I think that did kind of backfire, even though Nintendo specified it wouldn't be first party, stuff like that. But on the other hand, there were some games that could have easily fit under the partnership umbrella and could have come on the presentation, such as No More Heroes 3. It's in development for Switch. It's coming from a partner. It's not a Nintendo property, so that could have been there. Technically, Bayonetta 3 could have come under the partnership umbrella, because obviously it's a partnership between Nintendo and Platinum to make the game, and obviously Sega are the original right owners for Bayonetta, so like there's a partnership there. So it's whether it's just like a lot of people got hopes up that they might be there. But in the end, what we got Cadence of Hyrule getting a DLC pack, well, like a season pass. Pretty extensive stuff, so you got like a load of new characters, a load of new music, and then a whole new story mode, again with another new character. It's looking like a pretty substantial season pass. And it's coming out in three stages, and due to be out by October, and they're also releasing it physically with all the DLC included. Games of Hyrule, I haven't bought it, but I have played the demo, and I do really enjoy it. The soundtrack is absolutely incredible. Like, if you do like Zelda music, then what they do is how the music is absolutely incredible. And, yeah, well worth a go, especially even if you just listen to the soundtrack. It's well worth checking out, in my opinion. And yeah, so that was something we didn't actually know about. We didn't know that was getting a season pass. So that surprised a few people. Next up was a game by Hi-Rez, which was Rogue Company, which is like a online kind of team multiplayer game where you have to try and like capture points and do objectives and stuff like that. It looks pretty cool. I've not had a chance to play it yet. But a lot of people are saying it's better than they expected it to be, so that's always a good thing to hear. Yeah, I think it's, in terms of the grand scale, I think it's not a massive game. I don't know if it's come out on any other systems. But I know Switch is the only system that's really had a focus on it. So Rogue Company showed up. And then they showed off WWE Battlegrounds on Switch. For me, it's not a game that overly appealed to me. I was like, okay, yeah, just showing this off, whatever kind of thing. I know Matt from the Game Junkies was quite excited about this game. He was quite happy to see the trailer there for it. I think this is where I realised that a lot of the stuff in this Direct Mini is probably offcuts of things from the main Direct, because obviously it's been quite a while since we've had a major Direct from Nintendo, so a lot of people are saying it's either fulfilling contractual obligations, where obviously they've had like everything this game to your system, you need to show it off kind of thing. So I could see like this presentation being kind of showing off like fulfilling contractual obligations, and also potentially if they have got a bigger Direct coming, which a lot of people are assuming now, these are games that they've decided to not put in that main Direct, so they are getting shown off in a kind of Direct, but not in a main Direct. So I think that could also be a bit of a way to go of it. And they did also say there'd be more of these kind of Directs coming up, more minis and more kind of like the partnership showcase, stuff like that. Understandable, I guess. It kind of means that it's less work to put together. They're much shorter, so there's not so much voice work, not so many trailers to get sorted. Especially with all the COVID stuff at the moment and trying to get everything put together, I think it is kind of an easy way to go. Yeah, so that's the first three games, and then they did end with quite a divisive thing. For a lot of people, it was an absolutely massive moment, and for others, it was like, oh, okay. And it's probably due to the fact that the game series is a bit of a niche one, maybe. Like, it's well-respected. Like, within the fans, it's got a great following, well-respected. It's not a game that I've played, game series that I've played, but it is what kind of inspired Persona, the Persona series, and I'm absolutely loving Persona 5 Royal at the moment. So it is kind of... The game's got me intrigued, and that is the Shin Megami Tensei series. This is where we actually did get a surprise, something that wasn't announced previously. We had the announcement of Shin Megami Tensei 3 Nocturne, which is a cult classic from the PS2 era, and it is getting a remake and being released spring next year. And like HD remaster, so that caught a lot of people off guard, and I think a lot of people are excited to play it again and see it kind of touched up. I think you can kind of tell it's a PS2 game. I think it's just been sharpened up a bit. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see exactly what they do with the game. And obviously I've not played it, so I can't really comment on the game as such. And then the big final bit was once I announced that early 2021, I said, don't worry, it's not the only Shin Megami Tensei thing coming. And they showed off a trailer for Shin Megami Tensei 5, Jimmy Megami Tensei 5 was one of the first third-party games announced for the Switch, pretty much. It was among the first. And they had a Switch presentation in January 2017. Yeah, they showed it all off, and they went in the third-party segment. They had like a teaser trailer, and nothing's been seen or heard of it since. So, like, pretty much 3 years later, I have seen our first kind of trailer for it and hints towards story. There wasn't much gameplay, if any, so not showing much about how it plays or anything. But it's quite intriguing because you have got very similar kind of... It looks like a lot of things are based on decisions you make, which is really cool. And the exciting thing is they have announced it for a simultaneous release next year, which for Atlas is quite a big deal. Atlas have notoriously taken a while to bring things to rest, but when they release something in Japan, there'll be a few months before it comes out outside of Japan. So the fact that they are committing to a simultaneous worldwide release in 2021 is pretty exciting. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see more of that when they do show it off. Like I say, for a lot of people, this was like an oh my god moment, like this is amazing. And made the director right. Like, for me, the director was fine. Like, I knew going in, it wasn't going to be anything exciting. It wasn't going to be like the Mario stuff. I was a little disappointed not to see No More Heroes 3 or maybe any talk about Bayonetta 3, but yeah, it was good enough for what they said it was going to be. Shin Megami Tensei stuff looked good. Like, I don't know too much about the series. All I know is it is kind of like the parent series to Persona. There are sites where the Personas from the Persona series do appear in Shin Megami Tensei. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how similarly they play, if they do. As I am absolutely loving Persona 5, so if Shin Megami Tensei 5 plays in a similar way, then I'll be very excited to check that out. But that wraps up my coverage of the Nintendo Direct Mini Partnership Showcase, which is on the 20th of July. Now I'm going to move on to the main event. Okay, so the big focus of today's show is the Microsoft Xbox July Game Showcase. This was Microsoft's, look, here we are, this is our games, this is our new system. Like what we can do with our new system kind of thing. Yeah, check out these games kind of thing. And I have to admit, I'm just going to come out of it now. I left the event kind of underwhelmed. Because I know both of these events were supposed to be showing off what the consoles are capable of. And just like the PlayStation 5 event, I just found it a bit hit and miss, and the biggest thing for me is everything seemed to be cross-gen still, so like they're doing Xbox One and Xbox Series X, and there wasn't a great deal that was just Series X, so for me it kind of like didn't have the next-gen wow factor for me. I'm going to go through a lot of the games and what was shown off and give my thoughts about it. Some of it wasn't actually very memorable. And it kind of surprised me how long some of these studios have reportedly been working on some of these things. How little or how far along they are, like not very far. Like there's some games I expected to be much further along than I thought. But anyway, going to start off with some of the games. They start off, this isn't going to be the order that got shown, unfortunately. It is going to be kind of like a bit here and there kind of thing. I started off the event with Halo Infinite. This is like their big tentpole title for the game, world title for the year. It's set to be like their biggest game of the year. And yeah, they look nice, looks pretty good, but there was some things that I was less keen on. Just like the graphics look pretty, but again, it was supposed to be showcasing the Xbox Series X. It didn't look phenomenal, didn't look next gen. And the thing for me is something I've not really seen much of since like the PS2 era. There's a ton of pop-up. Like, obviously I don't always check for pop-up, but it's just like with Halo Infinite, there was serious notable pop-up where things would just suddenly appear. The biggest thing for me is one section where they're going up on the lift on the cliffside, and looking at the distance, a whole mountain just appears. So yeah, that is something that was kind of a bit, I don't know if concerning is the right word, but it was a bit kind of, oh, okay. Let's hope that they've made more progress since, kind of thing. And the thing that's come out after the event, which has kind of thrown a lot of people as well, is the footage that they used in the event was actually for a PC. So it wasn't even Series X footage that he used. So that is quite concerning that they weren't happy to show the Series X footage. And there have been lots of reports and leaks that Halo Infinite really is kind of up against it time-wise. I know quite a few YouTubers I watched are saying that 343 Industries is apparently in a mess. They're kind of scrambling trying to get it done. And another one said it's going to come in hot. Like, it's literally going to be touch and go whether they can get it done in time. And a lot of the key features for like Series X and that aren't going to be in the game at launch. Like, this whole next gen thing, everyone's going about ray tracing and like how does all the lighting, stuff like that. So that's a massive focus for a lot of the like console manufacturers and stuff like that. Sony and Microsoft are both pushing, yeah, we've got ray tracing, But for Halo Infinite, that's being added in as a patch after the game launches. Yeah, so that is a bit of a concern that key features of the new hardware aren't being put in at launch. And I think it is where the cross-platform strategy may be affecting Microsoft quite a bit. And yeah, I think it's just for a flagship title and like what you're pinning your hopes on for the end of the year, I think Microsoft are going to have a battle on their hands. It's also been described as a 10-year project as well. So it sounds a bit like they're going a bit more games as a service with it. So they'll be adding bits in updates and patches for years rather than doing sequels and stuff like that. So yeah, it's another thing they're going forward with Microsoft where they are going to purely do like games as a service style games, especially with their move towards Game Cloud and stuff like that. So it's really interesting to see what Microsoft are doing, but at the same time there is a lot. Yeah, it's Halo Infinite for the first game they're showing off in their Series X showcase just didn't look next gen to me. Looks like we have got a lot of work to do, we've got a lot of stuff to do. Okay, next game that I'm going to mention is one called As Dusk Falls. Again, I think fairly generic. Like, it's kind of like, that's why we're horror, like, it's hard to explain, it just didn't really capture me. Didn't seem very kind of out there as a game, doesn't seem massively revolutionary. Very interesting to see what else comes. I think it may end up on other consoles as well. But I can't remember exactly who's publishing it. So if it is a Microsoft game, then it's kind of like one of those fairly generic ones. I can't see it setting the kind of industry alight with stuff like that. Next up is a game that's coming up pretty soon, actually. I was going to Early Access, which is Grounded, which is, again, cross-gen. It's by Obsidian, so it's like a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids-style game. So you shrunk down to the size of insects. The trailer for it was hilarious. I really liked what they did with the trailer. And they poked fun at lots of different things. Quite self-depreciating as well, or deprecating. So I had like a bit like, if you're looking for the biggest game of the year, then I can't wait for Cyberpunk 2077, which is a cool nod to Cyberpunk, which I think is a cool nod from by Microsoft. Yeah, Grounded looks fun. I think when it does come out on Early Access on Game Pass, I will give it a go. I will look into it. Yeah, it's kind of be interesting to see how it goes. Obsidian did also announce a brand new game, which was Avowed, which looked kind of Skyrim-y because you got like magic and swords and stuff like that. And they have said that the game world will be larger than Skyrim's. Again, it seems fairly early in development. There's no kind of indication of when it'll be coming out. It looked pretty nice though, which is good. Next up was the next game from, well, that's what I'm going to talk about is the next game from Rare. Obviously, they're heavily involved in Sea of Thieves at the moment. But they are working on a new title called Everwild. The trailer they showed didn't really give away what the game was about. Like, cut out of the trailer, I couldn't tell you what kind of game it was. I was saying it's kind of like a Breath of the Wild style adventure game, which would be cool if they did do that, because obviously they have had some luck with games in that kind of genre, where they did the Star Fox Adventure and stuff like that. So yeah, they're kind of cool and interesting. But again, in things that come out after presentation, it seems very early in development still. I think they have been quoted saying they're still investigating different ways to take the game and different gameplay mechanics to use, so it's going to be a little while before that one comes out, I think. It's a bit of a shame, because again, could potentially be a long waiting game for that. Yeah, it looked alright, but it's, again, no idea what to expect from the game, and no indication of when it's going to come out as well. Next game I'm going to talk about is one that did look pretty good. That is a new Forza Motorsport. This is another clear hint that they might be moving more towards a games as a service style approach. Because it should be Forza Motorsport 8 or something like that, I think. If you're going, continuing the series, but they didn't announce a number. It said just Forza Motorsport. So I think a lot of people are saying that they could potentially do games of service and like add things as it goes along. So maybe add new courses, add new cars, either through microtransactions or DLC packs, or just do it as a live service through Game Pass, stuff like that. Okay, it's a bit unclear where Microsoft's going. It looked good. Not sure how much of what we saw was genuine gameplay. I know a lot of it was in engine, but I'm not sure how much actual in race footage we saw. Next game I'm going to talk about is The Gunk. It's a kind of interesting platformer. It is an indie title. It's by the people who make SteamWorld series, so a good pedigree. You're going for a third person action adventure now rather than more 2D, which is cool. Looked alright, so hopefully it will play alright. As you see in the title, maybe it won't be quite as expensive. Next one I'm going to talk about is one that did catch my attention was New Genesis Phantasy Star Online 2 expansion. Looked pretty cool. Adding a whole new kind of world or area to the Phantasy Star Online 2. A lot of new kind of enemies and stuff like that. I have recently managed to download PS Phantasy Star Online 2 onto my Xbox One, so because I've got a lot going on at the moment, I will be moving into a new flat soon. I'm not going to spend much time on it yet, so I'm thinking hopefully when I'm in the new flat, I'm hoping to actually be able to stream some other stuff. So, Phantasy Star Online 2. I love the original Phantasy Star Online on the Dreamcast. I really enjoyed that. So, I'm hoping that I can get into Phantasy Star Online 2, get that streaming. And to stream that on YouTube and stuff like that. But obviously that'll be probably a couple of weeks away once I'm in the new flat. Hopefully get all that sorted and in place. Phantasy Star Online 2, like, I've seen one of my friends play it and he absolutely loves it because he loved the original Phantasy Star Online as well. I'm really excited to get stuck in and to see what Phantasy Star Online 2 has to offer. This whole added bit did look quite nice, the graphics look quite nice. It's like a whole massive new world to explore, so that's always a good thing. Again, that's coming next year, and it's going to be a console launch exclusive, so it's going to be Series X exclusive for this little while. And probably, I think it's Xbox One as well, so it is cross-gen again. Another one that they did show off was State of Decay 3, so it's obviously their kind of survival horror game, zombified kind of deer. So the K series does seem to be doing okay. I have to admit to not playing any of them, so it was a bit take it or leave it, but I know for some people it was quite a big announcement that they're doing State of Decay 3. They did show off Tetris Effect is coming to the Series X, and it is going to be a continuation, or not continuation, but like a new version of the Tetris Effect Connected. So it's more of a multiplayer emphasis, so it's co-op and versus and online and local multiplayer. So we get to see Tetris on there. I think the thing for me is Tetris Effect was the VR, because I've got it on the PSVR, and the VR just absorbs you and draws you in. So it'll be interesting to see how the Tetris Effect merges it without the VR, and whether it still has that same kind of that kind of feeling. Tetris Effect is great in general, but it's just like I said, like, it's whether I find I miss the VR component or not. Bungie are getting back in bed with Microsoft in a sense. Like, they said that they're doing a Series X version of Destiny 2 Beyond Light, so they're going to be kind of optimising it for the Series X, so be like making sure it looks sharper, improve visuals, ray tracing, all that kind of stuff. So they did have a trailer there for it. So obviously we just see how Destiny 2 and Halo do against each other, and how they perform against each other on the Series X, to be honest. Fair enough, Destiny 2 is a bit of an older game, it's been out a little while, but with what's going on with Halo Infinite at the moment, I'm not sure whether Destiny 2 might find it has an advantage, where a lot of the kinks are ironed out and we've got a lot more in the game. Next game I want to talk about is quite an interesting one called The Medium. It's quite an interesting looking game. It takes place between like two realities, like a real world and then like a psychological fantasy world kind of thing. Apparently it processes both realities at the same time, so you can either switch between each, or you automatically get switched between each kind of thing. That was an interesting one to see. It looks alright, looks quite interesting. Interesting concept, so that's got that going for it. In terms of film, I'm not sure it's more like survival horror or whether it's kind of like a psychological thriller kind of game. But it did look interesting, so that's good. One that did look very trippy and did give me very much Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart vibes was Psychonauts 2. It's been in development for quite a while. Yeah, it's taken quite a while to come, and it's looking very trippy. Seeing another delay to next year, which is a bit of a shame, so not sure if they might have wanted to try and get it out this year. Yeah, it's looking good, and just very trippy. But in terms of overall look and shine, I think Ratchet & Clank just outperformed it. Like, Psychonauts looked cool, but it looked current gen. Like, there's no getting away with it. Like, the graphics weren't very impressive. It was kind of like, oh. I think after seeing Ratchet and Clank in the PlayStation 5 event, it just seemed really underwhelming. Whereas Ratchet and Clank looked incredible. It was really smooth. And it looks like Psychonauts kind of had like that kind of change between kind of worlds where it went really psychedelic and then like went to somewhere else. I think Ratchet and Clank's transition bits just looked cooler. It seemed to flow a bit more. So yeah, that's interesting. They focused on a expansion part or big DLC for the Outer Worlds. Outer Worlds are not really touched, so not massively fussed about that for me. It's just interesting to see what Microsoft decided to focus on. And this for me, where it became apparent it wasn't just about the Series X. It's not a Series X blowout, it's like a Xbox in general blowout. Which is a bit kind of, I don't know if concern's the right word, but I think me in particular kind of went in expecting to see a Series X showcase, whereas look at all this Series X stuff. Whereas very much like this is coming to the Xbox family systems, like current gen, next gen. But anyway, on to the last game I want to talk about from the event, which was the heavily rumoured Fable game that is in development, and it is indeed being done by Playground Games. Playground Games have more traditionally been doing the Forza Horizon games. So very good at open world stuff and different environments and things like that. So yeah, Playground Games are looking after Fable. And I think a little annoyingly, they didn't show off anything. It was literally like a CGI trailer, showing a little bit of the humour that's still there, then panning up just to show like the castle and the town in the background. So there's no indication what kind of game it's going to be. Some thought it's going to be an MMO, someone's saying it's going to be a story driven one. But now it appears to be like mainly single player, but there are some elements that will be multiplayer or like online. So, it's very little information given, no indication of release window. It was a bit kind of, it's good to see the Fables coming back, because it has been a little while since we've had a Fable game, and the Fable games were pretty good. But it is just kind of, is that it kind of thing. So yeah, it's kind of interesting to see that was how they ended the presentation. There was some interesting stuff in there, but it did leave me wanting more. It didn't absolutely sell me on the Series X. The good thing is that absolutely every game shown in the presentation was going to be going to Game Pass. And to be fair, there are other games I haven't mentioned on there as well. Game Pass is probably a key component that is kind of swaying me towards Xbox at the moment and Microsoft, but
I have to be completely honest, overall, the games just didn't blow me away. It was like, oh, okay, kind of, that's, is that it, kind of thing. And, yeah, it's a bit of a shame, so I think, even the Sony showcase, I was expecting to see a bit more from Microsoft, maybe. Not necessarily better games, but kind of like, more pushing the envelope with the graphics and things like that, and things looking good. So, yeah, it was a little bit, kind of, again, like the PlayStation 5 event, I think it was a bit overwhelming. Oh, not underwhelming, sorry. I think PlayStation 5 had far too much filler. And I think Microsoft just, in general, was just a bit, oh, okay. That's coming, that's cool, but that's a bit meh. I was quite surprised not, if they're doing CGI trailers for stuff, I was surprised not to see anything from the initiative. Because that's a studio that Microsoft set up, and they have got some insane talent. Like, people have worked on an incredible game series, have joined that development team. And there's lots of rumours about what they could be doing, whether it could be a new IP, or could potentially be a reboot of the Perfect Dark series. So yeah, like, there's a lot of things that the initiative could be doing, and I think there is a lot of people were expecting him to be there in some capacity. Ian was just talking about what they had planned or stuff like that. But yeah, to see absolutely nothing from the initiative was a bit kind of like, oh, okay. Was expecting to see a bit more from that. And yeah, it's just, I think that was a big omission. There's something big missing. And they have obviously got heavy rumours of an August event, so they were supposed to be doing things every month until the system comes out. Obviously didn't do anything in June in the end. But there is expected to be an August event where, if they are doing a lower price system, that could be where it's shown off. Like the I think everyone's calling it the Series S at the moment, like the rumour. Where it could potentially be discless, slightly less powerful. Yeah, so it's more affordable option for the people wanting to get into the Series X. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see if that is shown off in August. And obviously Sony are gearing up for stuff as well. And there's heavy rumours that in the next week or two we could see something from Sony. So yeah, it is a interesting time in the console space. Like, overall, the two companies, neither of them has completely sold me on their system. If you had to ask me to pick this and now, I couldn't really tell you. The only one that might sway it slightly is the Series X with Game Pass. So obviously that makes getting more games a lot more achievable and more, like, less costly. So yeah, it's kind of a weird situation. Like, the other thing is Microsoft are doing a lot of quite like touching up in games as well. Like, they've got the new Ori game, Ori and the Will of the Wisp, but they're going to be kind of releasing an enhanced version for Series X, which has got like 120 frames per second, stuff like that, and 4K. I think for me, even though I want things to look good, like, it's not the be-all and end-all for me. And like, the TV I have isn't 4K, so it's not, so always 4K stuff isn't a big emphasis for me at the moment. I just want games that are engaging and draw me in. I think both systems do have one or two games like that, but there's not a lot that really kind of blows me away on either camp. So yeah, I think in terms of choosing a next gen console, there's still a lot of scope for the companies to impress me. So yeah, we have to wait and see what else they show us before the systems come out, including like, what the price is going to be, what kind of games are going to be at launch. Neither company knocked down their launch games. I think with PlayStation 5, it's expected that Miles Morales will be a launch game. So as anyone that's clearly given a holiday this year to release schedule. And I think Halo Infinite is the only one really for Microsoft. And even then, that might be a bit of a mess when it does launch. So could be interesting to see what actually comes out of these. It'll be interesting to hear on social media what your thoughts are. So, like, I've got my reaction video on my Chris Reactor YouTube channel. And I have got my Twitter, so please hit me up. Please comment on the video or tweet me about what your things were on the presentation. Were you blown away? Because I know some people were saying that the Xbox presentation smashed the PS5 one. Whereas for me, on balance, the PS5 one was a lot of filler, but they did have some really kind of, oh, that's pretty good games. Whereas a lot of Microsoft in general was just like, oh, kind of like a bit of a meh kind of affair with a few good things tied in. And the good stuff didn't really have any kind of launch date attached to it. So yeah, it's one of those things that I don't really know how to feel about these presentations at the moment. It'll be interesting. But anyway, that kind of wraps up my main conversation piece for today. So one of the things I've been playing, pretty much the same kind of stuff. Animal Crossing, been popping on every day just for a little bit. And then we've had, obviously, managed to touch more Persona 5, not a great deal more. But I've managed to get on it for a little tiny bit. And yeah, there's a lot of Switch stuff really. So I've been with Tetris, a bit of Luigi's Mansion, and yeah, just like a bit of general gaming really. Unfortunately, work's getting a bit busier, and I am in the process of starting to pack for moving flat, which when you got like 35 years worth of stuff to go through and sort and pack away ready for moving doesn't really leave a great deal of time for gaming, and I haven't really done a great deal of packing yet either. So it'll be an interesting couple of weeks for me. So hopefully you found this show interesting, and as always, you can find me on Twitter at ChrisTheRest37, and you can also find my YouTube channel as Chris Reactor, one word, OR at the end. So yeah, please check out the videos, please like and subscribe them. So we want to try and push my YouTube channel a bit at the moment. We want to try and get more of a following. So I really enjoy doing the YouTube stuff. And it isn't all about the views for me, but I would like to get more of a following on there if I can at all. Because I do intend to go into streaming, stuff like that, so that would be interesting to see if I can get that off the ground. But anyway, thank you for tuning in. Please don't forget to check out Man Alex on the Game Junkies podcast next weekend. Has some pretty cool stuff, like the last episode was a House DM masterclass. Always worth a listen, always a bit of a laugh. I have also got their Dungeons and Junkies, which is a D&D podcast, which is where they're going for a campaign at the moment. I know Chad from the network's been on there, and also got a great other couple of people on there. So it's normally a lot of fun, normally quite exciting. So don't forget to check those podcasts out, and until the next episode, speak to you soon. Bye.
This podcast is a Matt Attack production for Visionaries Global Media.